In the booklet entitled The Eight Signs of the Gospel of John, distributed by Brother M. Walker of Northfield, Birmingham, the second sign is identified as the healing of the ruler's son, and it's found in John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 46 to 50, which I'll read from the New King James Version before looking at what the booklet has to say. I'll start reading at verse 43. Now after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honour in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, "Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This is again the second sign that Jesus did, having come out of Judea into Galilee. So, looking at what the booklet has to say about this sign, we're reminded that the first sign, which was the turning of the water into wine at the wedding in Cana, was to teach that Israel was destitute of all spiritual and national life. This second sign emphasizes that this sickness was to the point of death. This sign shows us a son, a child of Israel, who's very near death. It's important to know that the son is not described as being dead, and this is to show the Jews that they still had hope, if only they would allow the life-giving words of Christ to permeate the nation. In a consideration of 2 Corinthians 3 verse 7, the meaning of this sign with its tragic message becomes clearly apparent. The nation had completely enmeshed itself in the formal ritual of the Mosaic law, which was the ministration of death. The spirit of the law and the fact that as a schoolmaster it should have prepared them to receive their Messiah had not impressed them, and hence their sad state, as revealed in this sign at the point of death. Looking at verse 43, the implications of this verse are quite remarkable. We note from verse 40 that the Lord Jesus abode 2 days with the Samaritans, who were regarded by the Jews as being no better than Gentiles. The full power of these apparently insignificant words are realised when we appreciate that for 2 days, that is 2 days each of 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ has been among the Gentiles. And on the third day he will return to manifest his presence once again to the Jews, as in this sign going into Galilee, and he will heal them of their spiritual sickness. In Hosea 6 verse 2 we read that after 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. In verse 44, we see that there had been no response to Jesus' teaching in Judea, so he went forth north to Galilee, his own country. And in verse 45, the feast here referred to was the Passover. If we compare this, we can see in chapter 2, verse 23. The Passover was designed to teach escape from death through sacrifice and the making of a covenant. Thus, mention of it here pointing the way as a signpost is significant. In verse 46, the word nobleman indicates a royal officer, probably of the court of Herod Antipas, who was then tetrarch of Galilee. Cana of Galilee was on the road from Nazareth to Capernaum and the Sea of Tiberias. Reference is made here to the first sign, the turning of the water into wine, and this indicates that this miracle had been remembered. But as is emphatically shown later in John's record, the effect of these signs and wonders on the people who observed them was short-lived. And we need to remind ourselves that little more than 3 years were to pass before the Lord's own people were crying for his blood. In verses 47 to 48, we see that the man besought the Lord that he would come down and heal his son. And this request to come down caused Christ to comment, "Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe." But let it be noted that this man was rich in faith. He had confidence that the Lord Jesus was capable of restoring his son to full health. And in this respect, he typifies the fathers of Israel, who down through the ages have looked and longed for the time when Yahweh, as a great physician and healer, would restore their nation to national and spiritual greatness. However, he shows a certain lack of faith in uttering the words, "Come down." Christ did not need to go down. He had received the Holy Spirit without measure and was fully able to restore the health of this boy without undertaking the 20-mile journey which would have been involved. As in this sign, so also in actuality, Christ is at this moment of time working towards the restoration of Israel. He is therefore quite able to raise up the nation from a distance, and his ability to work in their midst and for their welfare does not depend on his personal and visible presence. Verse 50 reveals a most powerful lesson. The Lord Jesus fulfilled this man's request, but not in the way that the nobleman meant it to be done. This has often been the case in God's dealing with Israel. They looked for a Messiah to come and save them, but when he came to save them from their sins, rather than the Roman overlord, they rejected him. In the second advent of the Lord, the national and spiritual salvation of Israel will be accomplished, but doubtless it will be effected in a way not anticipated by the Jews themselves. God is willing to save, but not in accordance with the ideals of men. It must be God's way, or not at all. The word "liveth" is used in the New Testament for life in all its aspects, and it's the Greek word "zeo." It is used in reference to restoration after alienation, and without doubt, this is its meaning in this sign. Careful consideration should be given also to the use of the word "son," as it occurs in this section of Scripture. It's used in verses 46, 47, 50, 51, and 53, and in all of these places except verse 51, the word is "huios," which signifies a son, with particular emphasis upon the relation of offspring to parent. The word is used of the nation of Israel in Matthew 27, verse 9. But the word that which appears in verse 51 is "pais," signifying a boy. And this word is used for the nation of Israel. Luke carefully chooses this word in stating that he hath hope in his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. The nation then is represented in the New Testament as not simply the servant, but the young child of Yahweh. And it may also be noted from John 4 that the word "child" appears in verse 49, and this word "paideion," signifying a young child. The word used of those who are deficient of spiritual understanding, for example in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 20. These instances stress to us the care that has been taken in compiling the Holy Scriptures, and that words have not been chosen idly but for particular purposes and to teach profound truths. In verse 52, it's apparent that the nobleman's faith was not fully strengthened even after the words of Christ had been uttered. The scriptures record that he believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him and then went his way. The obvious inference that he was in a hurry to test the veracity of the Lord's statement. And this lack of faith is further emphasized in verse 52 when, having been assured of his son's restored health, his immediate query was in regard to the hour when his recovery began, thus indicating that his desire was to know whether the recovery had indeed been miraculous or due to natural causes. How easily and how often we too doubt the power of God's word, and we lack faith even in simple fundamentals. Instances such as this, as they are slightly propounded in the scriptures, should cause us to strengthen ourselves where we know ourselves to be weak in faith. The seventh hour is closely related to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrificial death. For the scripture records that his life ended about the ninth hour, and his death made open the way for our recovery from sin and death. The number seven here is also significant in that it is the complete number, and therefore has reference here to the complete time cycle for Israel's restoration. It's also noteworthy that the number seven is connected with the seventh 1,000-year day, the seventh day which will usher in the millennium, when the nation of Israel will recover from all spiritual and national ills. These ills have been brought about through the weakness of the flesh, as in the case of the ailing youth in this sign. So the aim of this second sign for Israel is to show that only the Messiah could raise Israel to spiritual and national life. And the sign is also a remarkable prophecy of what will yet occur. The aim of the sign to us is to show that the Lord Jesus Christ can bring us new life.